Welcome to Heiligendamm.
Flash Radio is a podcast from and about the GA 2007 in Heiligendamm, Germany. We will broadcast a daily half-hour news summary from the 2nd of June through to the 10th. For more information, go to www.flashradio.wordpress.com.
Welcome to Flash Radio's podcast. It's day 4 and things are moving on fast. The official summit starts today, and much of the mainstream media has been reporting on the split between those interesting bedfellows George Bush and Vladimir Putin. Meanwhile, aging rock star and self-proclaimed hero of the starving masses, Bono, has been taking centre stage once more, and it looks like he might steal the limelight from outgoing UK Prime Minister Tony Blair. The press have been concentrating on this sensible British politician who seems intent on making his counterparts shake hands while spouting hot air on climate change and throwing loose change at global poverty. Despite George Bush's best attempts, this year's GA is being dominated by the issue of global warming. Better late than never, huh? At the same time, nuclear weapons in Europe, poverty in Africa, the impact of globalisation, and trade and regional security have also managed to squeeze their way into the mainstream news agenda. It's like waiting for a bus. No one's talking about the key issues, and then half a dozen come along at the same time. In addition to getting the views from the streets on those key issues, Flash Radio's media teams have also been reporting on and experiencing the German state's clunking fist of repression. There have been lots of examples of state violence, with protests at Laag Airport being heavily controlled by the authorities, with lawyers being refused access to people who had been arrested. Further police brutality was reported at numerous non-violent road blockades, where it is said that police outnumbered protesters. There must be a way of getting them involved. It would double our numbers at least.
There was much activity early this morning at the Red Lish camp as people in the affinity groups prepared for blockading various roads, motorways and infiltrating fields along the path of the airport. Groups dressed as superheroes, clowns and others carried straw bales for their action, while others had no particular fashion. Affinity groups had prepared for some nights, while others were single, autonomous, lone wanderers who had managed to link up with groups who were going to one blockade or another. Thousands of people have come to Heiligendamm to somehow block the GA, and we do it in ways which are creative, destructive, dangerous, fluffy or nice. We were three people who managed to get seats on a coach to Lager, where the military airport from which the remaining GA would be arriving. The journey there was relatively easy. We were only searched once. Normally, a coachload of activists would be stopped a couple of times. Time would be wasted and dirty looks exchanged. So the fact that they let us go so easily probably meant the demo we were going to would be a nice, neat and organised one. We were the first to arrive at the low, totally penetrable fence that stopped either side of the fields, but on the other side of the fence there was a water cannon and a scattering of police vans and bizarrely a small group of mainstream press. We stopped to pee in the fields, have a sit down, and then after half an hour of listening to the sound system booming and nothing much happening, we decided to leave the safety of the grounds and dodge the press, who had also got bored and were looking for people to film and interview. NBC, no thanks. Others had similar plans and we all left in a large group, which made the police slightly agitated. We wandered off, not really knowing where we were going, but we had a map and a compass and a sense that others were breaching and blockading somewhere else down the line. A small group of us gathered to decide what we would do to help the others. There was some sort of decision that the best thing we could do was to walk in the opposite direction the police had told us to go, the thinking being that a few police vans could follow us, meaning that would be a few less police vans on the other blockades. The press always need to see sensationalism and violence, but there was none of that here. It was boring, but we thought it was necessary.
So basically, Camp Red Lish is on a road that people basically went through fields to get to B105, and then they have four meeting points where people know that they can blockade, And Hailing Dam is a tiny city with apparently 200 inhabitants, and the security for the G8 has built a fence that apparently all the security, or I'm not sure, I can't remember the cost of the actual fence, but it was 90 million euros in total for what they've expended in terms of, and I don't know if that includes also the police and everything. So they're right on the port just north of us, but the road's kind of actually trying to get reports back. I think from right now, where the Block G8 has gone, they've gone up this road and here, and they're at Bolhagen, and that's where they're trying to do the first blockade. I think the people from Rostock have taken another one. There's also Camp Wischmandorf, and I don't know what they're doing. They're supposed to be doing autonomous actions, and they are sort of northeast of us, northwest, sorry, not right off a train station. So Hailing Dam is an incredibly posh city with 200 inhabitants that have all been asked to leave, I think perhaps paid for to go elsewhere. The delegates are not actually staying. There's only one hotel in Hailing Dam, and only apparently what we've been told is that only George Bush is in that hotel, so the delegates have to drive to and fro. And so that is part of what we're going to be trying to do in terms of blockading, because the delegates are not staying in Hailing Dam. Yeah, I mean, right now we're out in the middle of the country pretty much. I mean, it takes about a 10-minute bike ride to get to the nearest supermarket and petrol station, and then there's the train station about 7 minutes walking distance. It's quite beautiful, apart from the helicopters and police vans parked everywhere.
Since early this morning, increased police roadblocks and patrols has welcomed those who have arrived to shut down the summit. There are also massive numbers of police helicopters doing their bit for climate change, while keeping a watchful eye on the colourful bands of protesters below. At Evershagen, where some media activists have been gathering, people were stopped by police and had their names and photos taken, which were then compared to protester profiles. Some demonstrators did manage to enter the exclusion zone and began to destroy the barbed wire which encircles the summit area. Meanwhile, protester blockades at Beauregard and Hinterbolhagen were brutally repressed, with police using batons and water cannons on peaceful protesters. Today we look at the resistance and repression taking place around Hailingen Dam.
Okay, that's good.
Around 5,000, 6,000 people are left from the camp of Redelich, heading towards the roads bring to Hailingen Dam.
Are you fishing today?
Look at this, man! The police just stopped us and people are farming into fingers. People are already going in the fields.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
No, man, they stopped. The different fingers are beginning to divide and are entering to the fields at the left-hand side of the road.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe we should put you in front.
At this moment, there are four helicopters hovering over us. An incredible display of force. Five, six helicopters, man. Seven! And the police is over there. He's waiting us. Just when the road gets into the wood. An eight helicopter, nine helicopters, is incredible. Looks like being in war.
Feel really fucking good.
Are you fit for today?
Yes.
Ready to run away from the cops?
Yes.
Yeah? Ready to go through?
Yes.
Which is your finger?
The middle finger.
The middle finger. Yeah, what are we going to show the police? Going to show the police the middle fingers.
Yes.
We're now arriving to a gathering point where many people are getting together on a grassy hill.
Wir werden jetzt gleich weitergehen, die Finger gucken, also die Leute vorne an den Fingern werden gerade verbrieft und wird ihnen gesagt, wo sie weitergehen müssen. Now I'll say something about the action agreement. We want to blockade the to exit the road to Heiligendamm, and we want to not to escalate with the police. So there are little groups that look for de-escalation, and everyone who wants to do something with bombs or Molotov cocktails, please, please make another blockade.
We just started dividing in groups, and now there are different fingers are walking parallelly in the fields on a front of around 1 kilometer and a half. There are many people. It looks like each finger has got at least 1,000 people each. We've been going down a small valley, down the hills, and now we're going up again in a field, reaching some woods, behind which we can see the lights of police cars. We finally got to the road after the fields, and we blocked it, and the police looks like unable to carry away anybody, because there's too many people here. On our way there. Preparing on the side by the railway, where the railway runs, just aside the boulevard. And let's look what happens.
Okay, it's Wednesday evening, and I met somebody here who was on the blocks today. And I just give him the word now.
Yeah, we went to the fence in the afternoon. And
what time did you start?
We start here at 3 p.m. I guess.
Okay, and from Redlich?
From Redlich, we started just by bike to see what happens, because we heard before that some people went just through to the fence, and we couldn't believe that, and we went through Bad Doberan. We looked for a police blockade or something, and there were some policemen. But we just took the next street, and there was nobody, and we could go.
So you had the impression that there was not enough police to cover all the streets?
Yes, I had the very deep impression they had a big problem. And we went through to the fence, and the entrance was blocked, and they couldn't get inside. So the blocking was very successful, in my opinion. And they had to deliver a policeman with helicopters behind the fence to give the other policeman support. And I was really surprised, and I never was part of such a good blocking action.
Yeah.
And all the mood there was very peaceful, very nice. The people were, it was a party, I would say. And the police was, I guess, very, very surprised and not amused.
Yeah,
and I don't want to be the man who made the decisions for the police actions today. And
so you could just walk through the fence?
Not through the fence. We walked, I stood, I guess, 20 meters from the fence.
All right, okay.
And, but I was surprised because they have this safety area.
Yeah, yeah, I know,
and nothing
I know.
Happened. Nothing happened there. And so it was very cool. And if you walk through over the fields, I guess you can. There are a lot of spaces you can go strictly through to the fence and touch it. And yeah, very surprising day. Very,
very cool.
Good impressions.
Yeah.
Well, now the special police forces wanted to escalate the situation. First, the Berlin police came. And the Berlin police could be stopped because the lawyers could talk to them. but then the special Bavarian command came and had heavy arguments with the Bavarian police and wanted to intervene. So the Berlin police had really to stop them. Now the Bavarian police withdrew and are checking for another way into the demo. I still have the feeling they want to escalate. And the people who make the demonstration have made statements that everything has to be peaceful here, that we want the demo to be peaceful, we want no violence. And even the people who put posters on the foretop of Ausländerbehörde, they came down from the roof because the police demanded this. So everything from the demonstrator side is very cooperative, and we want to be peaceful here in the protest. And we have to see if the Bavarian special forces understand that or whether they escalate that. They have the military power to escalate everything here. We don't have. So I hope it stays peaceful.
Using the body to protest alongside other non-violent techniques to resist the authorities and raise public awareness about the illegitimate nature of the G8 summit have been key parts of the general protest and are set to be an important strategy available to activists for tomorrow's actions. Road blockades have been proved effective at previous G8 summits and other similar events where powerful people have gathered. Flash Radio takes a look at the variety of techniques open to inventive protesters. Methods such as linking arms and legs while sitting in a circle make it harder for the police to break up groups of people and allows the protest to last for a longer time. In addition, relaxing the muscles makes it difficult for the police to grab and drag people, and it takes more officers to remove one person. Protesters have been warned, however, that engaging in such actions may result in greater chances of police brutality. Today, after 10,000 people used similar approaches as a form of protest, reports confirm that such advice is necessary. The cops aren't in a good mood. Well, it seems that the right to protest is continuing to be systematically violated, with the Federal Constitutional Court in Germany banning demonstrations against the G8 today. Who knows? All this violence could be a mere aperitif of what they have planned for tomorrow. But whatever happens, people are continuing to use their bodies and minds to resist in a variety of beautiful and exciting ways, and that gives us all hope.
Today, the German Constitutional Court confirmed the ban of the Star March. Kavana, the German authority especially set up to deal with all matters related to G8 security, had been fighting the Star March coalition in court for weeks. The march was due to take place tomorrow. Now, together with the coalition's intended march from several directions towards the official summit, the courts also banned alternative events just outside the security zone. They effectively added a third exclusion zone. The reasons given point towards the emotional distress for delegations throughout the protest, which could potentially disturb Germany's international relations. The increasing limitations of civil rights and usage of emergency laws are worrying civil rights campaigners, who also see a continuation of court decisions made on the highest level not according to law, but according to government's policy. A march by the right-wing extremist party NPD against globalization was also outlawed under emergency police laws as too risky.
Ja, guten Morgen. Ich berichte vom anwaltlichen Notdienst, Legal Team. Wir sind während dieser Tage in Rostock hier präsent, um den Personen, die hier sich...
Good morning. I am reporting from the Legal Emergencies Team. We are present here in Rostock during these days to give legal support to all people who show resistance against the G8. I would like to particularly address two aspects today, which are arrests and inhibition of the right to assemble and demonstrate, and on the other hand, police brutality. I would like to start with the first one. We have increasingly noticed that Kavala ignores the right to free speech and limits the right to assemble. Our efforts to intervene and negotiate yesterday to let the demonstration march the route intended have failed. We observe that Kavala in fact has taken all power from the local police, determines justice and represents its own power in the state. Secondly, police brutality. We had to observe horrifying facts. I will show you a picture. I will explain you this picture. It shows a situation on June the 2nd at the location Bahnhofufer at Kanonenberg. You see a police boot and a person on the ground. The background? This person was knocked to the ground. The young man lay flat on the ground, face down, did not move. Still, an officer hit his head several times to the ground. Then a second officer came, pulled a white t-shirt over his head and pulled it tight around his neck. People gathered around this man and the police officers. It was attempted to inhibit documentation of this police brutality. Yet one person managed to take pictures between police boots and was also arrested in consequence. Other photographers must have been there. I asked them to please get in touch with legal emergency services. I assume that now, with this picture known to the public, the police will start to investigate because of physical violation while on duty. Should this not happen, we will press charges. One further observation. Especially foreigners suffer from police interventions. They are treated differently than supposedly German persons, for example, concerning time spent under arrest. The people remaining in police custody are predominantly foreigners. Among them are many Europeans who should be treated equally according to EU treaties. Still, they are being discriminated against. So far, my report. From the press conference of the legal team, taken from G8TV.
My name is Silke Stutzinski. I'm a lawyer and a member of the legal team which is present here during the days of the G8 protest in Rostock. I will begin to give you a resume of the last day and last night. And I begin in Schwerin, where the manifestation, the demonstration of the NPD, the fascist party, and the anti-fascist protest against this manifestation have been banned. The Constitutional Court didn't take a decision. They decided not to decide. I think it is very strange to hear this, the reasons why were they said in the short time they had until 10 o'clock in the morning when the demonstration was previewed to begin. There were so many legal problems and they couldn't find a decision in this short time limit. I think it is really strange to hear from a constitutional court, the highest court we have here in Germany, talking about, from my view, very typical, normal situation and constellation between, in this situation, police bans demonstration. It's not very strange. And then further, we had 100 persons or more arrested for security reasons, and they stayed a minimum 6 hours in the detention centers and haven't been presented to a judge, although it is the obligation to present very urgent and very quickly a person who has been arrested before a judge. They didn't do so. They held them in the detention centers and then released them during the day. Then in the last night and yesterday during the day, we had the following experience. A lot of people, we had the minimum of 165 names who have been arrested. And now can't say really how many at this time are still in the detention centers. But it was really either on the road, in the street, during the demonstration, very hard and hardly not possible to get in contact with the detained people. We tried to intervene in this manner only to offer not to liberate the persons in this manner, but to offer legal aid, to legal help, to the support to the people who have been arrested. But the police tried to, and with success, tried to interrupt us and tried to push us away, tried to insult us and did so, and also pushed us in a violent manner away that we couldn't get in contact with the arrested persons. And this behavior continued also during the night over hours. We didn't get access. We didn't know where the arrested persons are. We couldn't know even not the place where they are. There were a lot of friends, parents, and loves who were very worried about the detentions, and they couldn't go there because we couldn't find out where it is. And it was really to avoid legal representation and the defense of the people. And a little bit before midnight, we got better contact with the police to get the place where they are, to get contact with the people. And this even persons have not been told why they have been arrested, and this also is an obligation, very fundamental obligation and right of a defendant. And all these as well as the legal support and defense of a person from the first main moment of the detention, they are violated in this night. And I do not want to go there hours, 6, 8, 10 hours after the detention. I want to be present in the first moment, and this haven't been fulfilled in this night. I hope we have better experience in the case of other detentions during this week here. And I think it is a violation of fundamental rights of the defendants. And the Kavala, the local, or not the local, but the police who is responsible for these in these days, should learn that the rights of defendants, irrespectively what they did or what they are for what they are charged, they have to be treated and have fundamental rights which can't be violated.
Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier that some of the people were so violently arrested that they were actually injured. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we had, I don't want to say very many cases, but and I can't tell you exactly numbers, but we had cases where persons have been severely injured and had to be treated in a hospital. And we also had cases that colleagues observed violent detention, and they asked the police to provide first aid, and they didn't do so, or too late, I want to say. Maybe later they provided first aid, but not in the first moment, and they left the people there with blood and violent injured.
Just the last question. You mentioned that people were taken to detention centres, mm-hmm. and you don't know where those detention centres are. Does that mean that special detention centres were set up specifically for the anti-jihad protests?
The special detention centers have been maintained in these days, or are maintained, by Kavala. And the normal police of Rostock has nothing to say, and it is in their hands and under the administration of Kavala. And Kavala is a special police unit only which has been built up only for the preparation of the G8 protest, and not the preparation only, but all these days we have now this week. And took the power of the local police, and they are the only responsible in these days. And we knew the addresses of the detention centers, but we didn't know which person is where. And that was our problem. And we had also the idea perhaps there are other detention centers than these. Huh? And but only they didn't give any answer when we asked.
Just the last question. What's the plans of the legal team for the rest of the NTG8?
Yes, now I have to go to see other persons who are still in the prison and to see if their case is dealt by the before a judge or with an arrest warrant, and then we will be present the whole week, day and night, and also we try to be present during the different manifestations or demonstrations and activities during this week, and also we go, that's very important, we try to go every day and especially today into the camps to be there between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. and to ask if there are persons who want to give us a protocol of their observations, if they observed detentions yesterday, and we will continue with this work in the camps that the persons can give us and these protocols, which will be held on a secure place. Very important. That means we will come today and be there from 7 to 9 p.m.
Okay, thank you very much.
Earlier this evening, police moved to surround Rostock camp, but the fact they had no search warrant meant that they could not enter. People in the camp were understandably overjoyed when they found out.
And that was the news. Now the time is coming up to 12 midnight. And now here is the repression forecast. We start with a special warning of severe repression conditions in the area of the boundary fence. A likelihood exists of small clouds of police agents provocateurs in plain or black clothes attempting to persuade members of the public to throw stones in order to provide excuse for more general repressive actions. Otherwise, generally repressive conditions are continuing and intensifying as the storm of G8 leaders gathers momentum. The heavy clouds of repression from the German police will continue with possible hail of batons and boots in some areas, including protest camps. There is also likely to be severe local flooding in areas close to water cannon. People most likely to be affected are those standing up for global equality and social justice. The persistent fog of misinformation and biased reporting from mainstream media will continue for the foreseeable future, broken by shafts of illumination from indie media, flash radio, and other independent broadcasts. A threat of camp invasion was reduced somewhat today after official incompetence, but may return in the near future. Meanwhile, warm spells were cast at the Alternative Summit, and high spirits are set to continue. That was the repression forecast.
Flash Radio will continue to podcast every day until the end of the summit, bringing you the voices denied a platform through much of the mainstream media. Stay tuned and keep in touch. Flash Radio, www.flashradio.wordpress.com.